Sentinel Online. Now loading All Things Transformers.
You're listening to All Things Transformers, version 2.0.
For your crimes against Cybertron and against humanity. One shall stand,
and one shall fall. You, Optimus Prime!
Hello, and welcome to All Things Transformers version 2.0, episode 17. I'm your host, Steve Megatron Phillips, and joining me this week is...
TFT1 Mike.
And our very special guest...
Me, Optimotimus. I'm excited.
You sound like a mouse.
Okay. At least he's not sounding like he's winning.
Oh, God. Go away, Charlie Megatron.
I have Adonis DNA.
I think it sounds better and it's much funnier in the Pocket God game, because they, in the Pocket God game for iPhone, they added a...
What is he, Japanese?
No, they...
Adonis DNA!
No. It's just a squeaky mouse voice. It's more high-pitched, but it says the same things.
Wow.
Yeah, wow.
Good story. Way to kill the conversation, Mike.
Shut up.
Yeah.
So, how's everybody doing?
Why don't we let the guest go first?
I'm doing, surprisingly well. I'm in a good mood today, as opposed to I think it was what day was it, Steve? You and I were talking. We were complaining about YouTube giving me a hard time because somebody they didn't steal it, but they claim ownership over a video of mine, and now they're making money off of it.
Yeah, it was like Thursday or Friday. It was so stupid.
Yeah.
Who the hell tries to steal content from somebody else and make money off it?
Some guy that apparently is Arabic. And I'm not saying that all Arabic people are like that, but this guy just happened, whenever you Google his name, a bunch of Arabic stuff came up. So, I don't know. It was, you know, and the funny thing was, I got the email, and it instantly put me in a, like, defensive, oh, shit, kind of mood. Because mm-hmm. it said that I knew what video it was, and I'm like, oh, shit, there's somebody that filed a blah, blah, blah. I forgot what it's called. Content ID match. That's what it's called. And I'm like, oh, man. And it said that it was for my Wally visits Optibottoms or something. And I knew what the video was. I had taken a whole bunch of little vignettes from when Wally was coming out a couple years ago, like 08 or something like that. Was that when it came out, or 09?
Yeah, something like 08. That.
And, you know, just little shorts where he's going around doing goofy things. And I just thought it was cute. So I put it together. And I've never had a problem all this time. So when I saw it, I'm like, oh, okay, well, Disney or Pixar saw it. Now I'm going to have to take it down. And I go and look, and then it's not claimed by Disney or Pixar. And it's, like I said, it's by some guy that when I Googled the name, it was everything Arabic. And I'm like, what? This is ridiculous. I actually heard that people were doing this on a lot more popular videos on YouTube, and now it's a process where I have to go through and dispute the claim, and then they have to come back and either retract their notice or dispute my dispute, which in that case apparently then they would have to prove that they own the material, but there's some loophole that now people don't have to prove that they own it. They just YouTube automatically sides with those people. So it's a huge mess. But yeah, that was a couple days ago, and I was in a bad mood from that. So I'm doing much better today. Thanks for asking.
So suffice it to say, the gas stations aren't giving them enough money, so they have to steal from you.
I did not go there. Please write any and all questions, comments.
Send it to Steve at geekcastradio.com. See if I care.
Exactly.
$25 a gallon.
I have nothing to do with this. I'm an innocent bystander.
Right.
But yeah, that's basically what they're doing. They're trying to, because they take it and it enables revenue sharing for them, even though I already had it on there, which, you know.
Is it like 100% your original content? Like, no, I mean, as far as like reviewing or whatever?
No, it's literally me just taking those little video clips and, you know, of Wally. Oh God, I don't even remember what it is. Say he's walking around and he sees something and he plays with it. I mean, it's like a 20-second long little thing. And there was a whole bunch of them that came out around that time where he's doing goofy things and he's experimenting and he's confused. Like, imagine you both have seen Wally, correct?
Yeah.
Yes.
Imagine a bunch of different clips of him going through the garbage like he did at the beginning of the movie where he finds random things and he's like, what's this? It's like, whoa, you know, and then it does something weird.
Yeah.
That's literally what it is. And I put a string of them together. It's like a 3 or 4 minute long video. It's not my material, but, you know, so, but in order to complain about it, it would have to come from Disney or Pixar.
Right.
Not Joe Schmo. Or
not some Abdullah douchebag Mahana. In Afghanistan.
Yeah, Abdullah Makana Mahana, whatever. That one you can send me hate mail for.
They're from Bangladesh. And
yeah.
Basically. They had a love affair with Charlie Sheen.
Wow.
I'm trying to get that imitation up. If you can't tell,
yeah,
it's going to come to play in a future show. So.
Oh, great. Wait, which future show?
It's nothing. It's more of a revised Headshot meets
Goodnight
Live. Okay. So
that's that comedy show you were telling me about a few months. Okay. Before Steve goes, as far as me, I woke up this morning and found
good.
Out that
that's very good.
The light fell
you're
off.
Waking up. Good. Thank you.
Fuck you guys. I'm going home. So I woke up this morning to, like, 20 different people messaging me on Twitter saying, we think your account's been hacked.
Oh, God.
Went in, changed my password. I went back to protected tweets. I enabled Twitter's encryption, account encryption shit. Changed my password, like, 4 different times. My password's, like, I don't know, 25 characters long at this point. But it was, like, the worst hack I've ever seen on Twitter, because apparently whoever got a hold of my account, and I never give my passwords out to anybody, especially for Twitter and Facebook, obviously, but I woke up, I sent like 50 direct messages to random people.
And I didn't get one from you.
Me neither.
Yeah. Well, that's
you
crazy.
You guys should count yourself lucky.
You need to stay away from those porn sites. That's
maybe it's
because
I already marked you as spam to begin with. I'm joking.
That might be it.
The sad thing is I actually went back and I looked through, which this has kind of nothing to do with it, but I went back and looked through my Twitter followers. The first two people I ever followed was Spada and you, Steve.
Nice. And we didn't get anything from you. We're not important enough for the spammers.
Yeah, what the hell?
Bastards.
So what are you up to, Steve?
Go to hell. You go to hell and you die.
That's what she said. But yeah, what I've been doing for the most part of the last week is, well, BehindTheVoiceActors.com had we've gone on to the next round of the voice contest, which comprises of Disney characters this time around. The Dragon Ball Z round is done.
Thank God.
Whatever. I bitch slap you with my palm.
The only reason why I say whatever is because you guys, and I understand why you guys did this, but you guys picked all, like, no-name background characters or non, you know, main characters. So that's
well, we had to, because if we didn't, then, right. Some people were going to get badly outranked if we went with streamlined. Not to mention that, I've also joined the Twig crew, kind of.
Yes, you have. You made your career basis. On Jump the Shark.
Jump the Shark. Olé. But yeah.
I don't know what that is.
Yeah, you're just here. You don't know what the hell we're talking about.
I've done that. I've also been working on Predacon Empire, new version of the site, which is coming along slow at the moment because I've been playing a lot of Diablo 2. A monstrous amount of Diablo 2, which is a game from 1999 that still holds up today. And you can play it for free online with other people, which is another bonus for me. So, and Diablo 3 comes out in, like, February. So that's going to be where I'm going to disappear to for a week.
It came out in 1999?
Yep.
And there was an expansion in 2000. And it still holds up. It's from
that's
Blizzard.
That's amazing.
It's from Blizzard,
What's even more amazing is the fact that it's taken them 10, 11 years to do a sequel.
Well, think about it this way. They created StarCraft, Diablo, and Warcraft around the same time. And then they had a Warcraft 2. It took them 10 years to come out with StarCraft 2. It took them 4 years to come out with Diablo 2. And then it took them 10 years, almost 12 years from the time of the previous game to come out with Diablo 3. And they've already had StarCraft 2, and World of Warcraft is their big moneymaker at the moment.
Yeah.
It's kind of like Hideo Kojima with Metal Gear Solid.
What,
it's like
every time to hit perfection. It's not like they pulled a Duke Nukem.
Oh, God. Yeah, wait 14 years for the shittiest game on Earth.
Yeah, at least Blizzard has a standing record of it's done when it's done, and it will be awesome.
Yeah.
So
Blizzard needs to make Transformer games.
Blizzard is the tool of the video game industry, and I mean that as far as the band tool, because they're the same way. They make albums like every 10 years.
And they usually come out, and they're ridiculously popular for a very long time.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And I am pretty geeked for Batman Arkham City, though.
Oh, that comes out tonight, doesn't it?
It does, but not for PC users.
Yeah, fuckers.
PC users, it comes out on, I believe, the 11th of November.
Wow.
Oh, that's the day Optimus gets married.
Yeah.
11-11-11.
Yeah, so,
it's binary.
Sorry, sweetheart. I am not going to be at my wedding because I'll be playing Arkham Asylum on my computer. See how well that goes.
She would kill you.
With a spoon.
With a wooden spoon and hopefully leave splinters.
It would have holes in the spoon so you could hear the whoosh as it swung by.
Wow.
But anyways, anybody else have anything else to add?
Nope.
Bueller? Okay. We're going to jump into the Transformers news before we take our break. So we're going to jump into Paramount plans Transformers 4 and 5 to be shot back-to-back.
Somebody shoot me already.
Oh, shut up.
I see the financial aspect of it. I get that. So Hasbro can keep branding up and so they can keep the mainstream audience up. Because honestly, without a movie, no little kid that hasn't been in the fandom for that long is going to really care about Generations figures and everything else. But the problem I have with the movies and the movie toys is that that's all that they rely on when a film is out. They don't even do anything else with any other part of the Transformers branding as far as toys. Look at Dark of the Moon. It's just now ending, and the toys for that are coming off the shelves for Transformers Prime. I don't want a fourth film to do what fucking Revenge of the Fallen did, is basically shut down animated. I don't want a fourth film shutting down Transformers Prime.
The movie didn't shut down animated. Cartoon Network shut down animated.
This is my thoughts on it. Transformers Prime, being that this won't even begin because of Bay's prior commitment and the fact that they will probably want him and Spielberg back on, being that it won't start till late 2012 or early 2013, they should be able to wrap up another 26 episodes of TF Prime.
Yeah.
And if need be, finish it off properly. Unlike, I mean, they did finish animated properly, but there was still more that could have been told. I would like to see Transformers Prime go on, but it would be nice to, you know, at least they would still have a whole nother year of life that they could do whatever with it, whereas it wouldn't be cut short. So it would hit more episodes than Transformers Animated already by the end of that year. So them hitting Transformers 4 and 5, I can see the aspect of doing them at the same time. That makes sense. They did Pirates 2 and 3 that way. They did Lord of the Rings 2 and 3 that way. It makes sense from that standpoint because they lock everybody up for that whole time period so they can just pump them out.
Yeah.
Right.
But I also like the fact that Shia is not going to be in it.
I'm kind of skeptical, and at this point, according to the Geek Tyrant article, it's just a rumor. I'm kind of skeptical what the hell kind of a role Jason Statham would play in the Transformers movie universe. I like Statham as an actor. I like him in his stereotypical action star movies that he does. I just don't know how well he's going to fit into Transformers.
Jason Statham in the Transformer. I would not watch this movie if he was in it as the main character. I'm just putting it out there right now because I cannot stand any film that he's been in. I will not watch anything.
I can honestly say I'm not a fan. I do not like any of
his work.
I like some of his movies, but I don't like them all.
They're all the same.
I know. If you see one, they're all pretty much the same plot.
Yeah.
He's running something for the entire episode.
Right. And that would fit perfectly with a Bay movie.
Oh, God.
I'm running from Megatron's robotic army of hell. I mean, shit, who's left? Know, he's killed all of the Decepticons.
Well, there's the whole, Megatron died, and then, I mean, here's the perfect time for Galvatron to enter the whole thing.
Boo.
I mean, no, I agree, but it's the next logical progression, I suppose. But
they'll bring in Jay Axis.
It's so hard. I don't like Jason Statham. I really hope that he wouldn't be replacing the Sam character, or not replacing, but I don't want Jason Statham to become the next Sam Witwicky.
No.
If they're going to bring him in, I want him to be a completely new character.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that they're pretty much retired. Like, I think that after Dark of the Moon, they're pretty much done with Sam Witwicky. So it would probably be a new character. But it's taking the place of having Shia in the starring role. That's the thing.
Yeah, and I really didn't mind Shia.
I didn't mind him in the third and the first film. The second film, I could have shot him in the head and been fine.
Oh, well, the second film...
That should have been never made.
Yeah.
The only thing that gave it resonance for the third film is the fact that Prime had the Matrix, and he said, here, Sentinel, take the Matrix, and he's like, no.
Which still doesn't make any sense to me how, if the Decepticons knew that the Matrix was already on Earth, what's the point of everything? If they came to the Earth looking for Optimus Prime because they knew he had the Matrix, I mean, Optimus Prime came to Earth because the Allspark went there. They didn't know where the Allspark was to begin with until Bumblebee pretty much told them because they were out scouting or something like that. There's just no continuity with everything. It doesn't match up. And you throw Revenge of the Fallen in there, it just makes it a huge cluster blunk.
Yep.
But, I mean, logistically, it makes sense for him to do the movies, you know, back-to-back. It's probably financially easier to do it. Ethan and Kruger, I mean, him, I liked what he did with The Dark of the Moon. So, and they say that he's got an idea that the studio likes.
I wasn't disappointed with the third film because I went in with low expectations because of the second film.
Yeah.
But I still felt at the end of the third film a sense of blah at the end of the movie. It was underwhelming the entire film, even though I already had low expectations of it from the get-go. And I've watched it two, three times before it came out, and then I watched it again when I got the Blu-ray. And I'm still feeling that kind of sense of blah at the end of watching it yet again. Whereas the first film, I can sit and watch it and not be as kind of bored-ish. Granted, it was a great action movie, the third film, but there was still something that just was kind of missing.
Interesting. Dark of the Moon is probably the one I could watch multiple times out of all three. The first film is good for the story that it told. That fuck nugget that was Revenge of the Fallen does not need to exist. That is, and my expectations going into Dark of the Moon were anything is better than Revenge of the Fallen. So,
movie, you know, I mean, it was not a good movie. Everybody can pretty much agree on that, but. There was people get so mad at Michael Bay and they want to kill him and attack him and everything because, oh, you destroyed it, Revenge of the Fallen sucked. You know, there's a lot of other problems that Michael Bay didn't have any control over that really made that movie crap.
Well, I mean, you have Hasbro's hand in it. You had the fact that you had two writers that were working on Star Trek simultaneously and the writer's strike, and so...
Right.
And then you had Aaron Kruger in there as well. So you had three different writers, you know, two that work well together with a guy that normally works by himself.
Right.
Kind of clashing ideas, and then Bay filling in some of the blanks because the writer's strike. And so you had multiple hands dipping in that pot, screwing up the film.
I think the problem with the TF film franchise in the first place was Bay straight out and came out and said at the beginning of the first movie when they first started producing it that he was not a Transformers fan. He could care less. He's just in it to make his military movie. Or he said something along those lines. You know, I'm just paraphrasing here. And the problem is, you know, you don't want to have someone who is solely detached to it. But at the same time, you don't want to have a super uber fanboy make the movie either. You want someone that can be in the middle. And I think that he had kind of come down to being in the middle as the films progressed, because there's way more G1 references in Dark of the Moon than I ever expected there to be.
But that's not necessarily Bay that's doing it.
That could be Kruger, though. And I also think Spielberg has something to do with it, too, being that he was a Transformers fan anyway.
Yeah,
right. And I would like to see what he would do if he was put in charge.
Yep.
Yeah, I've always been a big Steven Spielberg fan, but you know, to counter what you said, Mike, about, you know, you don't want to have somebody who doesn't like or doesn't know about a franchise and somebody who super loves it. You know, the 2009 Star Trek movie, you know, done by J.J. Abrams, he said that he didn't like Star Trek at all, and I thought he put an outstanding Star Trek movie out there. So, I mean, it can work, but I don't think necessarily Bay is to blame for that. I mean, he
kind of is. The difference is between the two of them is that I'm sure JJ was probably open to fan interaction and fan input, whereas in the first film, Michael Bay basically said, I don't care what the fans think. I'm just out to make
that's
this
not
way
true.
I want to make
it. If that were entirely true, he wouldn't have gotten Peter Cullen on board.
Okay, well,
wouldn't
but
have gotten certain
that's also Steven Spielberg. That I'm betting that that was Steven Spielberg that said that, and I know in an interview that Bea did, I think it was on one of the DVD features, that he said, you know, you kind of have to have Peter Cullen, but I mean, the biggest thing was the flames on Optimus Prime and the fact that he's not a flat nose and everything else. And I understand it has to be made realistically for a film, but just his initial attitude when he first started, you know, going on message boards or going on this or going on that online was like, I don't give a fuck what you people say. I'm going to do it the way I want to do it. And that's what initially turned a lot of us off to it, I think. And that's where, you know, the reference of, you know, Michael Bay's Rape My Childhood like Starscream rapes giant metal bugs came from.
And yet we're talking about a movie franchise that has grossed how much money?
Over probably $1.5 billion total.
I would say it's probably even higher than that.
It's probably close to like $2 billion.
Done a crap ton of that just by itself. But Dark of the Moon is adjusted for inflation, obviously. What now? The fourth highest grossing movie of all time.
Yeah, it's like Dark of the Moon itself was like $1.1 billion, and if you add in all the other movie costs plus the toy line costs, it's probably close to $2.5 billion. And that's great, and I'm not saying it's not great. I'm just saying that you need someone who is, like, I hate to use this reference, but you need someone who is straddling the fence, who isn't so close to the fandom, but isn't just going to wholly ignore the fandom. You want someone who's going to tell a good story. And as you guys said, the problem with Revenge of the Fallen, besides, you know, throwing in the twins, was...
Oh, stop it.
Was the fact that it happened, they tried to write it during the writer's strike. That they tried to make it during a writer's strike, and that's what really hindered it, other than, you know, the twins.
Oh my God, the twins. You know, I look at it this way. From a movie studio standpoint,
uh-huh.
I would not want a movie that caters to a fandom. If they put me in charge of the movie, I would probably go about it the same way that Michael Bay did, because you have to appeal to more than just the fans. If it's just Transformer fans going to see this movie, it never breaks those records. You need
and
to
that,
put
no, and I and I understand that, and that's fine, and I agree with what you're saying. But what I'm saying is that you don't want to have someone in there that just ignores the fans either. You don't want to make it wholly mainstream. You want to throw in those homages to, you know, Light Our Darkest Hour and, you know, stuff like that. But you don't want to just ignore people that are giving you suggestions. I mean,
if they threw the Light Our... I cringed when I heard it in the most recent Transformers Prime episode. There are certain things that I'm sick and tired of hearing.
Yeah, and that's something we can get into once we talk about Transformers Prime, but I mean, I know that the article says it's not probably going to start until late 2012, which probably means it'll end up being a late 2013 or 2014 release, which is right now in 2011. That's fine for me. That's at least 2 or 3 years away. My problem is the constant news stories and rumors of, oh, this is happening, that's happening. It's like,
you got to talk about something.
Steve.
It's better than talking about Transformer comic books all the time.
I quit reading Transformers comic books when Dreamwave quit doing them.
The only Transformers comics I read are the BotCon convention comics.
I have to agree, that's about as far as I go besides IDW's Beast Wars ones. That's the last time I cared about a comic on Transformers.
I read the... I downloaded the prequel comics for the movies. No. I didn't pirate them. I downloaded them through my iPhone app.
We know what you meant, Paul. I just, like, it's always been since I was a kid. You always used to have a movie novelization and then a movie, or a movie came out, and then after the movie came out, you would get a novelization. The one that comes to mind the most is Peter David's novelization of 1990s Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. I don't mind reading either a novelization of the actual film or a prequel novel of the film of events that happened beforehand, as long as it's in book form. I don't like, because I'm not a comic reader, so I don't like the fact that they do prequel graphic novels. I get that a lot of people like graphic novels and comics and everything else like that, but I would much rather have something like Exodus or Exiles, where it's an actual book that you actually have to read and not just look at the pictures.
Are you, when you were young, were you a comic book fan in general? Did you read Batman, Superman, regular, you know, like action comics?
Not regularly, no.
Okay,
I read them here and there, but I never actually really kept up with them.
Yeah, see, that's probably, I mean, when I was young, I read comic books like it was going out of style. So,
yeah.
Then they just kind of got stupid and I stopped reading them. But, you know, so that's why it doesn't bother me so much. My biggest problem, and this happened with Dark of the Moon, was they released the novelization before the movie. And I read it, and I absolutely loved it. And then I watched the movie, and there were some key points in the book that were completely omitted in the movie.
Yeah.
And I'm like, how can this be a novelization? I mean, I understand that, you know, you have a writer who, you know, takes liberties with various things, but not entire characters being completely included in the book that are not included in the movie. I mean, what I consider key plot points... I shouldn't say plot points, but key sequences, I should say, completely added to the book that are not in the movie. Now, I don't know if that's because the book is written, then it goes through the publication and all that stuff. So, I mean, they probably got the book, you know, the screenplay to write the book a while before the final edit of the movie came down. So, but that's annoying to me. You know, if you're going to do something like that, just wait to release the book until after the movie.
Yeah.
Because I can't watch the movie now without looking for certain things that I read in the book.
And they're not there.
And they're absolutely not. Well, they are there, but they're not there, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
But, and I'm not going to elaborate because I don't want to ruin it for anybody.
At this point, I don't think anybody cares.
Yeah, true.
What else, Steve?
So with that, is everybody done on Transformers future film franchise crap?
I think so.
All right, before we beat that into the ground, I think we'll be back after this commercial break.
All Things Transformers will be back after these messages.
You can now hear the Geekcast Radio Network while on the go with Stitcher Smart Radio. Stitcher is a free news and talk mobile app available for your smartphone. And when you download Stitcher to hear Geekcast Radio, you'll have a chance to win money. Downloading is quick and easy. Just find Stitcher in the App Store. During registration, hit the promo code box and enter Geekcast Radio, all one word, to get automatically entered to win $100. The latest episodes of the shows will be waiting for you in your favorites. You'll get access to lots of other amazing shows, too. Always available to you on demand, no syncing. It's Stitcher Smart Radio. Don't forget to enter promo code Geekcast Radio when you register.
Emerging from the dark humor that was the Beast Unleashed podcast, Steve Megatron, TFG1 Mike, Pecan Court Michael, and the Cybertronian correspondent Optimus Solo move on to Transformers Animated with Transformation Animation Podcast. 20 episodes covering all three seasons of the cartoon, the books, and the awesome toy line. We will also have cast and crew interviews, so get tapped with GCRN's next Transformers franchise podcast. Transformation Animation Podcast, available on iTunes and the web at www.geekcastradio.com. Get your tap on.
Decepticons, transform and rise up.
Soundwave, jam that transmission.
Rumble frenzy, ravage rat bat, eject, operation interference.
No, there will be no Operation Interference. I am TFG1 Mike, and you should be listening to my very first podcast, the TFG1 Podcast. 24 episodes covering the entire U.S. run of the 1984 Transformers cartoon. I also have a few supplemental episodes and an interview with Stan Bush. I bring in guest hosts who will be full-time co-hosts in Steve Megatron and fan of the show now co-host Pecan Court Michael. So check out the TFG1 Podcast. You can find it on iTunes and the web at www.geekcastradio.com. Transform and roll out!
Welcome to my throne room, fugitives. The Beast Unleashed podcast is over, not gone. You can hear more of this great podcast discussing all the episodes of Beast Wars and Beast Machines on GeekCastRadio.com. We include voice actor and writer interviews with stellar hosting by Steve, Mike, and Michael. Head on over to iTunes or the net, or else I will send you my vehicles to extract your spark and destroy you. Yes.
Hey, I'm Gary.
I'm Greg.
I'm Chuck.
And I'm Justin.
Join the four of us every week on the internet's number one G.I. Joe podcast, What's on Joe Mind? That's right. It's Joe news, reviews, and special guests like you've never heard them before delivered right to your MP3 player.
Think of it as Joe Talk meets Sports Talk. And we make fun of Chuck.
Right. Hey.
We're just kidding, Chuck. Kinda.
Yeah. Sometimes Chuck makes fun of himself.
Right. Hey.
It's What's on Joe Mind. Every week on the Geekcast Radio Network, InsidePulse.com, Stitcher Smart Radio, and iTunes. Download and listen today.
Can I say something about Transformers?
No!
You are listening to All Things Transformers. Maximals, maximize!
Such a thing is not unprecedented. Before the beginning, there was Primus, and there was Unicron. One, the incarnation of creation. The other, of destruction. For eons, Primus and Unicron battled. The balance of power shifting between them more times than could be counted. Only by creating the 13, the original Primes who preceded me. Was Primus finally able to defeat Unicron? And cast him out. Primus became one with the very core of our planet, creating life through the well of all sparks, while Unicron was never to be heard from again. Until now. This is merely the beginning! I now possess enough dark energon to reanimate Unicron himself! Yes!
Welcome back to All Things Transformers with the Transformers Prime 3-parter season finale. Yes, today we're talking about One Shell Rise, the 3-parter. Starting with part 1, the Autobots discover that Dark Energon is responsible for an epidemic of natural disasters.
Sounds ominous.
It is.
Dun, dun, dun.
Oh, man. These writers know how to end the season. I got to give them that.
You still bitch about the writers from Revenge of the Fallen. They're the same writers.
They're executive producers. They didn't write any of these.
The difference is that they actually have freedom to do what they want. Suck Michael Bay's dick. That's the big difference.
I think it was Hasbro's dick. This has to cater to younger...
Dick. That's all I heard.
This is supposed to be coherent. Films are never coherent. That's why they redo them every 10 years.
Now, the one thing I want to point out really quickly before we get too far into this is, as I've been watching the entire season, including this final three-parter, one of the reasons why I hated Bumblebee not being able to talk in the films is because in the first film, they didn't have him talk up until the very end. He talked. They actually credited a voice actor. And then in the second movie, he doesn't talk again and he uses the friggin' radio. Here in Transformers Prime, I don't mind the R2-D2 sounding Bumblebee because you do have Raph translating for him. I don't mind it because they haven't, you know, not had him talk, and then not had him talk again. So I'm perfectly fine with this version of Bumblebee.
Meh. I'm tired of Bumblebee, honestly. I wish they'd actually give him more of a personality than just doo-doo-doo-doo.
I think his personality comes through.
It's
symbolism of various things that he does.
It's just annoying not hearing him speak. It's like saying, hey, we're too lazy to give one guy on either side of the faction war lines to say.
Yeah.
Because they'll take up an extra 2 minutes.
I'm sure. I mean, they attributed it in the movies to him being damaged or something like that. Then, yeah, he got fixed, and then it went to being damaged again. Whatever. But I'm curious to see if they're ever going to make reference to why this version of Bumblebee doesn't have a voice.
I think they are in season two, because I remember a few months ago, there was a news item about Jeff Klein talking about the series, and he said that, yes, we understand fans don't like the fact that Soundwave and Bumblebee don't talk. We will be telling the story of how and why Bumblebee doesn't talk eventually.
He used to be Blaster, that's why. And he got in a big fight with Soundwave, and that's why neither one of them can speak in anything but beeps.
Soundwave doesn't even do that.
He just repeats other people.
Yeah, he just repeats other people, or he'll show a visual on his screen.
Freaking modified laser beak.
Yeah. I don't know. He's badass. That I don't need him to talk.
Yeah.
He looks scared.
He looks almost too Viacon-ish.
Yeah, he does look almost exactly like them. At least he's there.
So the basic point of part one here is that Megatron thinks that his destiny is to be the Chaos Bringer or the next evolution in Transformers history because these planets are aligning in a certain way. I found this story to be very, very interesting, but...
You don't sound that interested.
No, I am. I'm just trying to collect my thoughts here, because I'm just staring at the screen and I'm not really doing anything. No, they told a very well-written story, but I think where it really kind of hinders, and they also turn it around, is where you supposedly have Megatron as Unicron's slave.
His herald, I guess. What intrigues me with this entire story is that they've known about this this prophecy for a while, and most of the Autobots you see Ratchet and be like, yeah, I thought, you know, just stories, Bulkhead, whatever. Prime seems to be taking it really seriously now that it's actually happening, and it just. I'm like, why? If you really thought that it was going to happen in the first place, how come you have waited this long to say anything?
Mm-hmm.
And that's just, I mean, obviously they got to build the story, and that's fine. But I'm looking at this. I'm like, You knew about this all this time ago. You didn't say nothing till now. You big dummy. Could have done something before all this craziness happened.
See, I find this...
I know.
Sorry.
That's right.
I find this particular episode kind of interesting in the sense that they actually animated a scene between Primus and Unicron.
Yep.
And referencing the original 13, the Well of All Sparks, and the defeat of Unicron. And I like that they put a different twist on Unicron this time. Instead of a floating planet that eats planets, he was a slumbering planet that a planet named Earth formed around.
But we don't know that until later on.
But it kind of references that in this one when they when Megatron gets the vision of the Earth exploding.
Yeah, I mean, the astute people can start putting that together and you start seeing this. I completely agree. I love this. I mean, I never watched any of the trilogy cartoons. They were what?
They were lame.
Oh, well, that's exactly why I haven't watched them, to be honest. Everybody says how bad they are, and I refuse to watch them. And I literally tried watching some of it, and I can't stand it. It was just too stupid for me to actually watch. But I really disliked what they did with the whole Unicron and things of that nature. And that's where we got Primus from and everything. So there was some good that came out of it, I suppose. But I really like what they're doing with this whole Unicron aspect of things. And it's really kind of refreshing. I mean, I don't want to say it's a new take on them because they're utilizing a lot of different things from a lot of different. I mean, you got Unicron, you got Primus, you got the battle between them, you know, and you know, obviously you're incorporating movie aspects with the original. Not the movie aspects, but. You got the original 13 primes that are created by Primus. I mean, I love what they're doing with it, but it seems fresh to me.
Yeah, I like the new take on this whole thing, and I actually have to correct you as far as the Unicron trilogy. The Primus, that's the first time he was animated. Simon Furman did create him in the comic line.
See, and that's where I never read Transformer comics.
See, I had all of the American Marvel comics from the 80s to the early 90s, and then some of the UK comics I'd read online referenced a lot of them, and they actually made him kind of look similar to Rodimus Prime as far as how Primus appeared. So they did have a lot of Primus in there, so that's actually where that all came about. And this particular Unicron actually, what's that?
I sit corrected.
And this particular Unicron actually resembles Beast Wars Neo.
Yeah, it does.
Oh.
It looks like the almost like the prototype figure that never made it.
Oh, that's interesting.
But it was kind of nice to see him come as little rock soldiers. Fighting Optimus and losing.
Someone said on Twitter, I think it was PO that said on Twitter, oh, cool, Rock Lord Unicron.
He's going to rock him like a hurricane.
That's pretty much what he became. He's able to manifest himself in various rock forms.
Well, he is the planet, after all.
How many people cracked up at the Taint of Primus line?
Oh, that grossed me out.
I thought that was funny.
I'm like, the taint of Primus? Wow. I mean, that's obviously not what they meant, but us adult perverts probably took that and like, ew, came out of the taint of Primus?
Well, he truly is the spawn of... Never mind.
Oh. I'm like getting queasy.
Just think if Dodd was here. He would have some kind
of... Oh, God, don't even.
He would have some kind of Transformers porn parody.
I'm sure.
Yes. It's funny that Megatron kind of makes himself the Herald to begin with. Mm-hmm. He's like, I am the Herald of Unicron. Which, you know, later he changes his tune, but...
Well, that's because he got fist, because Unicron's basically like, bitch, I don't need you.
I never did.
Right, so it's like, he's like, fuck you, so what? And he's just like, oh, and then Megatron's all, oh, well, alright, well, I'm screwed, and now he wants to kill things on the planet that I want to rule, so, alright, well, guess I don't like him anymore.
As far as part one goes, I think when, I think it was the Hub or Hasbro, somebody had put out a clip, you know, a teaser clip of part one, and it was the scene where June and Raff got stuck in the tornado.
Yeah.
And you see Raff jump into B's hand, but you don't see June, because the car then floats away. Everybody freaked out, and they're like, oh my god, no, they did not just kill Jack's mother.
I almost thought they were going to, and I was like, no, wait, they can't destroy the DeLorean.
I wouldn't have, you know, she's got a very motherly tone in this episode where, obviously, Raph comes back, he's hurt, and Optimus sees him, and he's, you know, recovering, and Prime is happy to see him recovering, and she has this line where she's like, you know, he almost died. These are just kids. And
I mean, she has a point.
Oh, though. She does. She absolutely does. But, you know, I found it hilarious when, you know, she's like, I'm taking him home. You know, Miko, come on. And Miko just, in her very defiant way, is like, you are not my mother. And then, of course, all the Autobots, you know, Bulk is like, you know, Miko, and he says, you're not my mother either. And it's, you start kind of getting a sense that, you know, the Autobots are realizing that this is bigger than the humans and that people can get hurt. And mm-hmm. June is realizing that, and she tries to leave. She grabs Raph, sticks him in a car, and they're on their way. And this is where I was saying, you know, that we kind of get some of Bumblebee's personality through some of his actions, because you see Bumblebee completely defiant, probably just ran off to go and get them, or at least make sure that they're safe getting back home, and he saves them, and luckily he's there. And I think June realizes that, and I think that's kind of what, you know, she realizes that, you know, yeah, we're all in danger, you know, but these guys are here to try to help us. And that's the end of my rant.
I do like the fact that Miko said, the cons killed a unicorn.
Oh, God.
White horse with a horn on its head prances around all sparkly.
I and thought she was right going there. For a My Little Pony reference there.
I almost thought so, right too.
There, that right there was the defining moment in Transformers Prime that I've decided that I hate Miko.
That's about the only line I like that Miko said all season.
Oh, it just was ridiculous. And now that I go back, I can't, I just, oh. And, you know, the thing is, I can't say her name. I can't remember her name. But the chick who actually does the voice for Miko is exactly like Miko in real life.
Yeah.
It's literally like they took her and animated her and made Miko. It is so funny. Because at PodCon, it was, I wanted to run up on stage and just strangle her. That's not, I probably shouldn't say that, should I?
No, you shouldn't. I believe it's right. Tanya Ganati. I think that's how you say her name.
Whatever.
But
I mean, I'm sure she's a sweetheart. I have nothing against her, but I don't know. It just
it offers a unique feel for the humans to have the three different personalities that we have. Raph is kind of like the little kid who likes to race cars and who likes the computers. He's technically a younger version of Chip Chase. Miko is a slightly older, better version of Sari. And then Jack is pretty much G1 Spike, except he's a little bit quieter than Spike ever was.
That's funny. You just pulled the words right out of my mouth that I was going to say. To the T.
Sorry.
Oh, that's all right. You just saved me some breath. But
there you go.
But I think it's funny though. Like you guys were saying about the taint of Unicron earlier, not trying to get down that low road. But It's just funny how Unicron's like, you profess loyalty to me, yet you allow a disciple of Primus to live. I will destroy him for you. His screams will be heard. I grow wary of your prattle. Surely if you had the power to destroy this Prime, you'd have done so already. I will deal with him myself. It's like a Megatron and Starscream moment. Like, bitch, please, oh, yeah. I can do it myself. I don't need your little help.
Yeah,
and did I miss something somewhere?
Where the hell is Starscream, anyway?
That's what I was just going to say. Did I miss something along the lines between episode 20 and 24?
A couple episodes before, he basically said, you know what? I'm going to do this on my own. I'm not going to have any affiliations. I'm just going to go on my own. And then he transformed into his jet and took off.
He's going to go find Dr. Arkaville and come back.
That would be such an awesome cameo in season two if Arkaville showed up and Casey was the voice. That would be so awesome.
Well, I mean, it leaves a whole lot of possibilities because, I mean, remember Starscream kind of did that in the G1 era, and we got the Combaticons from that.
Mm-hmm. He'll become the leader of the Autobots.
Nice.
God.
Talk about a twisted transistor there.
I'd love to see how that would happen.
That would be hilarious. But I guess we should move on to part two.
Yes.
Which basically is summed up in the Autobots team up with a surprising ally to save the Earth, a.k.a. Megatron.
Yeah, we kind of already talked about part two.
Yeah.
It's one whole discussion. Just go with it.
Yeah, we'll just go with it.
The cool thing is, we did get to see the taint of Unicron.
I'm sorry. I have to skip to the end because that part freaked me out. The eyeball.
Oh man. Yeah.
That was creepy.
That was pretty creepy.
It came right after Megatron's line of "He already knows we're here."
Yeah.
Whatever he said, but that eyeball movement was like, oh my god. So creepy.
And he sent his antibodies.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, that whole eyeball thing, as soon as I saw that, I instantly thought of Lord of the Rings and the Eye of Sauron. I'm like, oh, this is serious.
If Unicron's eye was red and it had a little silver slit in it, you could have called it the Eye of Thundera. What's wrong with you people?
I do like how on this episode, though, that Megatron finally steps foot in the Autobot base just to be like, oh, so this is the Autobot base. Damn, I'm a dumbass. I couldn't find it this whole time.
Yeah. Was it this episode or the next? Because they're all one-parter, and here's the biggest problem. I didn't watch these like everybody else did on YouTube. Or I don't watch them on TV when they air. I watch them usually the next Saturday. Or wait, no, the Sunday morning after it downloads to my iTunes. Right. So typically it's like when the new episode comes out, I'll go back, especially with part like two-parters like this. So when I watched part three, before I watched part three, I went back and I watched one and two. So I would have like all one story going on instead of having a gap in between. So
right.
So it's hard for me to separate these. Now, there's a scene where Prime and Megatron are fighting side by side. Is that in part two or part three?
That's in part two or part three. I forget. There's several scenes with that.
I mean specifically when they're inside Unicron. I think it is in this part where they're battling the antibodies.
Yeah, that's in this part.
And as I was watching it, I was like, they're back to back and they're fighting, and it was almost rhythmic how the two of them were fighting together. And it was I was like sitting there watching. I was like, wow, that was impressive. And
see, this is going to come back later when we get to part three, at the very end of part three, as part three goes along and tells that story.
You see what I'm doing? I'm leading
it. Set it up. Yep.
I'm trying.
It
was a good episode.
It was, but I like the antibodies coming after them. And I like the fact that they also bring up, you can't go into Unicron, that he's made up of dark energon, we won't survive. And I like how they back that up with Bulkhead kind of getting weak and weary and almost falling off the optic nerve there.
I found it kind of odd that one of the biggest Autobots is affected before the smaller ones.
Well, the bigger they are, the harder they fall.
Well, yeah, but you would think that they, you know, a bigger one would be tougher and able to resist it a little bit longer than, say, RC, who's tiny.
But RC is, you know, Ninja Bot Femme Fatale, though. There's a big difference. She can move.
Clearly. Yes. Oh, she can move, and, you know, she's faster than the radiation of the dark energy.
No, I don't mean...
That's what you mean. Shut up. You don't know what you're talking about.
All right, look. As someone who is obese, all right, I know for a fact that someone who is skinnier has a higher metabolic rate than I do.
We're talking robots.
Well, so what? I mean, they gave robots food in animated, so I can compare metabolic rates between robots if I want to.
Beast Wars.
Yes, and Beast Wars.
All right. I'll back down. God. I really like this episode. That's all there is to it. And we, like I said, we saw the taint of Unicron.
Yep.
Which was creepy.
Yeah. And I like how, specifically going back to the eyeball scene, that it is more organic rather than, you know, green emeralds that were in G1.
Well, he is techno-organic. It's almost like a repeat of a fire in the sky.
Yeah.
The planet needs Unicron to survive. Well, the planet needed Skyfire, kind of.
Yeah, right.
So it's a similar idea, anyhow.
Yeah.
Well, the other thing that's neat is that we see that Prime, Optimus Prime, starts a. I don't want to say starting to trust a little bit more, but he sees greatness in Jack, and bestows upon him what he calls. The power source or whatever to the ground bridge, and Jack is sitting there with it and like, okay, whatever. And again, we find out more about that in the next episode, but that really showed the growth of Jack and how Optimus sees him as somebody who has that leadership ability.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, look at Jack throughout the majority of the season in the series so far. He's always stepped up. And taken the leadership reins of the kids because, let's face it, Miko isn't a leader and Raph is, you know...
Too young.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's technically his role. He is the leader of the children's. The way that they have, between One Shall Fall, the episode before this three-parter, and this three-parter, the way that they just leave you, not even at the very last episode, but leading up, every episode they give you a cliffhanger, and it's like, wow, they really know what they're doing.
Yeah, they do. I think that it's kind of funny that Prime, before they decide to take off, and I can't remember which part this was exactly, and I don't remember if it was part two or three, but he gives Jack something, Prime does, which I don't think they explain it till the third one.
Yeah, they don't explain it until the third part, but he gives him that key, and he says it's the key to the ground bridge power source.
But he's actually lying to him because he doesn't want him to...
Yeah.
Yeah, so, which I think that will come back into play into season two in terms of helping Prime.
And in terms of what that key actually is, and we'll find out about that in part three.
Well, that's how they start the engine to Cybertron. Anyways, we'll jump into part three.
Yes.
Jack learns more about Optimus Prime's history on Cybertron while the Autobots continue their battle at the Earth's core, which it's kind of nice to see that they carried on the Orion packs from G1 and all of the other mythos and Megatronus, and which that was from IDW's Megatron Origins, but... But yeah, it was nice to see that they were, you know, kind of back-to-back, kind of friends at one point.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's allies. They both believe that things needed to change on Cybertron. Just one had a different way of going about it than the other one. And that's usually the difference. That's what happens.
Yeah.
And in this episode, we also learned that we need to watch out for the quiet ones.
Yeah. And see, again, that's why I don't mind. The one thing that I'll absolutely hate in season two is if they get Welker, but they don't vocode him. I don't mind the Dr. Claw Soundwave in the movies. I do not want Dr. Claw Soundwave in Transformers Prime. I would much rather have him silent than have him be Dr. Claw.
So silent but deadly. Gotcha.
There you go. Good story. But yeah, again, it goes back to, you know, Soundwave doesn't need a voice to convey his presence. You know, he just needs a foot stomp.
Exactly. And you really see the, you really see the badassery of Soundwave as what the hell's her name in this thing?
Arachnid.
I can't stand her, by the way.
I can't either.
She steps up. She's like, oh well, Megatron has left us, and that's not good for us or the Decepticons. So I'm gonna take over, and we're gonna hightail it out of here. And she goes over to leave, and Soundwave is like, no. We're not going anywhere. I mean, he doesn't say it, but he's standing in front of her. And then she gets all pissed off, and she tries doing some karate things on him. And very Mr. Miyagi-like, Soundwave is like, psh, 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 just
he just bitch slapped her.
Yeah, and he's like, you're done. And that's it. Then he just turns around and goes right back to doing what he was doing. Like, he's very single-minded and focused. And it reminds me more of Shockwave than Soundwave. I mean, he's got the loyalty and everything, but it just in terms of his Soundwave was always really dedicated, but just something about him just really says Shockwave to me. I don't know. I think
he's more of a cross between the two.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah.
I would love to see a Shockwave version in like a Transformers Prime Shockwave. I would love to see that. But if we don't get it, I think that Soundwave, with him always doing his little experiments and everything else and keeping track of whatever the Decepticons need to keep track of, it's, you know, like Steve said, it's essentially combining the two characters into one.
Yeah. Without having said anything, I really like Soundwave, especially in this episode. It just comes across and comes out so much nicer, I think, than previous appearances by him. But it's good. I like this episode.
Yeah, I think this is quite honestly the best episode of the season, period. I mean, this is, you know, the climactic battle ending everything. It's just... and I have to honestly say I agree that Soundwave is the best he can be that he's been all season right here. This defines him for the next season.
Yep.
That he's not going to take any shit anymore.
Yeah. Yeah. You're looking at this, you know, and then obviously, you know, the whole thing. Who was it? Breakdown? Was it Breakdown that said it? Knockout. I'm sorry. Knockout's like
the quiet ones. Yeah.
Like watch out for the quiet ones. You know, and that just really solidified everything. And it was at that point I was like, you know what? If Soundwave needed to take over, I think at that point in time, it was pretty much decided that Soundwave would be the next one to lead, as opposed to Arachnid.
Oh, yeah.
Not that would, you know, ever happen, because Soundwave, you know, with his dying breath, would be trying to find Megatron. But, you know, I mean, he really stepped up, and you can really see it there. My only regret is that Starscream wasn't there to get bitch slapped and get put in his place by Soundwave. I think that would have been a whole lot more entertaining as opposed to it being Arachnid.
Yeah. As far as Arachnid goes, to me, like, I love Gina Torres voicing her. But Arachnid, to me, she, as far as her, just her look, and not really what she's all about, but just her look, she looks like a robot version of Maleficent, Sleeping Beauty.
Yeah, kind of, yeah.
But yeah, overall, this episode, the battle, the fact that they get into Unicron's spark chamber, the fact that Megatron shakes him off and basically says no one commands Megatron, that I thought was a really nice nod to TFTM, even though in TFTM he had to change because he was injured.
And he did get controlled here, too.
Right, you're right.
Temporarily.
Yeah, he got controlled a little bit. But it was more so, like, after he shook it off, where Unicron later took, like, after Megatron said that line, and then later on, as, like, right before Optimus releases the energy of the Matrix, Unicron takes his body over. But it's more so Unicron, you know, using Megatron as a vessel rather than, you know, torturing Megatron like what happened in G1.
But he did torture him a little.
Right, he did.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, releasing the energy of the Matrix.
Care Bear.
That ain't right.
Yeah, I had to say it.
I will agree. Paul said off air that there are certain lines in Transformers fandom that we are just sick of hearing. And I think one of the reasons why we're sick of hearing them is because it's taking away the emotional effect of the lines. And the problem is, back in G1, Cullen's voice, everyone's voice in G1 was a little bit reverbed. I actually listened to Cullen's, Soon I shall be one with the Matrix, or the Matrix shall light our darkest hour. I went back and I listened to those lines. His voice has a slight reverb, not really auto-tune, but it has something behind it. Whereas this, it's just Cullen's voice. I can't hear any effects behind it. But I think the emotional presence of that line is just gone at this point.
I don't think it's gone. I just think that it's...
It's because they didn't play Stan Bush's song, You Got the Touch.
That's what it was. That's why Mike's very upset, because You Got the Touch did not come into it. That's Mike's big problem. But, anyway, I agree. I think certain lines are overplayed. And, you know, the title of this episode is, you know, One Shall Fall, or One Shall Rise. You know, that whole One Shall Rise, One Shall Fall, you know, that whole thing's been said a million times. I don't know. I see what you're saying, and I kind of agree with it, but I don't think that it's necessary. I think we look at it and we draw too much to the emotional attachment that we had at that first time that we heard it, and it kind of weakens that feeling when we hear it used in a whole bunch of other random times. I mean, I think, you know, because I can still go back and watch the original movie, and I can still hear, you know, One Shall Rise, One Shall Fall, you know, or Light Our Darkest Hour. I can still hear that. And in that context and in that movie, I still love it.
Exactly.
Any other time, it's like, ugh, you're cheapening the line.
Well, the problem now is with One Shall Rise, One Shall Fall line.
It's been used in the films and all the animation since.
Well, yeah. Okay, that's not the issue I have with it. Yes, that is an issue that I have with it, but that's not my main issue. My main issue with One Shall Stand, One Shall Fall is now, over the last 3 years, half the line is Optimus's, and half the line is Megatron's.
Yeah.
That's not how it's fucking supposed to be. Peter Cullen is the one that fucking says that line, the whole line. It's not supposed to be shared between Optimus and Megatron.
That's an interesting way of putting a different spin on it so it doesn't sound lame, you know, or cheap copy of the original time being said.
No, Megatron's line is, I'll rip out your optics!
Which I don't think he has even said yet.
No.
Thank God.
No. That was just...
I mean, even in the battle that they had... In One Shall Fall, even in that battle, they didn't really... That battle was awesome. But they didn't. They used a couple of the major lines, but they didn't, like, use every single one of them, which I'm actually glad about.
See, they're treading carefully in this show, which I like.
Yeah.
They're not just casually, you know, dropping the lines as much as, say, Revenge of the Fallen.
Yes.
I'll go one further, and the whole the needs of the many outweigh the needs of the few. Fuck you.
That was such a Star Trek drop.
Yeah.
It was, and it absolutely, I mean, I'm sitting in the movie theater and I heard that and I cringed.
So did I.
Like, no.
I smirked at first.
Don't do that.
I smirked at first and I was like,
I was like, oh, wow, that's kind of cool. Oh, wait. No, it's not that. Now you're just, you're making it cheap.
And I was like, Galvatron, get out of the movie. Spock alone.
This is the one where Spock goes nuts. That I didn't mind so much. I thought that was good. That was a subtle plan on
what was going to happen.
Yes, and it was very well done. And I didn't like that.
Yeah, this is something I did not, and again, it goes to the testament of what Orci and Kurtzman can do when they're not under Michael Bay's thumb. This is something I never even expected them to go in.
Well, wait before you reveal the end. We have to talk about what they actually handed Jack.
Oh, okay, yeah.
The taint of Primus.
The key to Vector Sigma.
Yes.
Which... it doesn't exactly explain what it's for in this series.
Not yet.
Not yet, but Ratchet's like, how do you have that? What? And then he realizes, you know, Prime's not coming back.
while Jack is just sitting there tapping it on the rail.
It's like,
he's like, what the hell is this? Is this a funky looking new CD or something? What the hell?
It's that new government style.
Yeah.
But I like, and we can go back to what Mike was saying before, how Prime is wiped clean.
He is.
He's not Prime. He's Orion Pax.
You think he's ever going to...
That was such a turn that I did not... And it was like...
Hold on. I don't mean to cut you off, but I got to tell you my story. Because my story's awesome. Not saying your story's not, but probably is awesome. Fine. Okay. So, mind you, I had not seen this episode. Everybody's talking about it. Oh my God, it's awesome. Epic. I'm like, all right, whatever. So I'm sitting there watching it, and it's coming up to, okay, oh, look. Optimus Prime put the Matrix in there. Okay. Oh, everybody's happy. The floods stop. Earthquakes. Blah, blah, blah. And everything's happy. And I'm sitting here watching this. I'm like, okay, that was... And I was tweeting it at the you know, and I was like, okay, yeah, this is pretty good, but I don't see why people are freaking out so much. And literally as I sent that, that's when Optimus Prime looks up at Megatron and he's like, Megatronus? And I'm like, oh, shit, there it is.
And I told you.
Yeah, well, I'm sure.
I fucking told you.
I know, but I'm like, why are you guys so excited about this? I'm like, I mean, you could see that Optimus was good. I mean, good guys always win. I mean, I was like, okay, I mean, that was a cool episode, but why is everybody so excited? Then I see that, and I'm like, oh, that's why everyone's so excited. And then it's like, I instantly got goosebumps, and I'm just like, my eyes got wide, and I'm like watching the TV screen. And then they're sitting there, and then, you know, Megatron like kind of realizes, oh, that's what happened. And he, you know, refers to him as Orion Pax, and then the other Autobots come in, and Megatron's like, those are our mortal enemies. Quick, go. I'll cover you. And I'm like, what? And at first I was like, did Megatron get erased too or whatever? I'm like, why would he be? And then, yeah, then the next scene is, you know, him going in there and, you know, the Decepticons are about to attack. And he's like, Megatron's like, no. Is that any way to treat one of our, you know, a long lost friend? You know, and then he's like, he's one of us. I'm like, oh, then I shit my pants.
Yeah.
The
thing about the memory problem is specific to Optimus because of once he released the energy of honestly, go back to G1 when they released the energy of the Matrix for the hate plague. And then Hot Rod's like, it's empty. What do we do now? Well, we get wiser and we fill it back up again. Whereas here, you know, Optimus empties the Matrix, and not only does he empty the Matrix, he erases his memory to the point where he's Orion Pax before the war started.
Right.
And that's why they told that story earlier of, you know, Optimus being the data clerk and conversing with Megatron and this, that, and the other thing. Because that was actually in Exodus. And I don't know if this particular story was in any other comic book, but where I first read this Megatron Optimus story was in the Alex Irvin novel, Transformers Exodus. And I thought it was great. And I, you know, my jaw dropped to the floor when they did this in the cartoon. And I'm like, oh my God.
It's a good episode.
Yeah. and not only that, they even say at the very end, to be continued. So they're not just, you know, they're not just giving us a season-long story and just cutting it off and just wrapping everything up immediately. They're taking us into the next season with the holy shit moment of Optimus is a con. Overall, my thoughts on season one of Transformers Prime... the writing, the animation, the voice acting, all of that's great. There are little nitpick stuff here and there that I don't really like, but overall, the entire season was awesome. In my opinion, it is probably number one, number two, probably tied number one with Beast Wars as far as storytelling, but it's like the second best or the first best Transformers cartoon ever at this point, just for the stories that they've told so far.
I think
we need to get more Transformers Prime before you can make that kind of comparison as to being as good as Beast Wars.
Well, the animation is 10 times better.
Obviously. I'm just meaning...
Right. You're saying as far as the storytelling.
I mean, I like where it's going now, but, you know, the first season of Beast Wars, you didn't know what was really going on.
Sure.
You know, so I mean, I think we need to look at it in that perspective. But for the most part, I do agree. I'm sorry, Steve. Go ahead.
I was going to say that I have to agree that I mean, and I'm going to have to give it time too. But I think that it easily could fill that second spot, kind of tying with Beast Machines as far as storytelling.
Yeah.
It's almost on par with Beast Wars, but mostly because of this end last five episodes.
Oh, yeah.
It just depends on like what you said, Paul, of whether it season two picks up and runs with it.
It probably will.
I'm sure it will, but I mean, you know, and there's going to be duds. You know,
we've already had
filler
some
episodes. Yeah, but you know, honestly, going back... Because my personal second favorite is Transformers Animated, and that's a very close second to Beast Wars being number one in my opinion. This where I'm seeing this going, I do have high hopes that it could be the absolute best of any Transformers series to date. beating Beast Wars, beating animated, beating everything. I think it has that potential, but I've been let down before, so I don't want to get too excited about it, but it's just going to have to take time. But one thing that I was noticing is going back and watching, not too long ago, I went back and I rewatched every single episode again, and because I have them on iTunes, and I'm watching them, and even the filler episodes, I enjoyed, whereas filler episodes in previous years, I was like, eh, I can skip over this.
Well, the thing about the filler episodes in this series, and Transformers Prime specifically, is that there's always that one or two bits in a filler episode that ties the entire story together.
Yeah. I agree with that. That's why I think that this has the potential to be one of, if not the best, Transformers series out there.
Yes.
Just my opinion, but the potential is there.
Right. Steve, final thoughts on season one?
You like Primus'
Taint? Definitely surprised by Primus' Taint.
Very surprised.
Yes. I'm very surprised at how they took this concept and ran with it and took aspects of all the different franchises and kind of meshed it into a new universe that kind of fit with the video game and the books. And it did something different to where, yes, people are skeptical throughout the entire season, but I can't say that anybody could honestly hate it after seeing especially the last 5 episodes.
Yeah.
So, honestly, I mean, even for myself, somebody who's been kind of waning as far as Transformers content lately, I think that this kind of has me geeked for season 2 and ready for it whenever it decides to air, which I believe they said it's going to be sometime in the end of November.
Yeah. So they're not waiting.
It isn't too long. I mean, that's
it gives them a month.
I said this off air. I think I said this to Steve, or I might have said it to you, Paul. What they might end up doing is what they did when they premiered it. They may do a season 2 5-part epic miniseries in November. Yeah. November into December. And then they might say, oh, hey, that was the 5-part miniseries for season 2. Come back in February for the rest of the series.
Right.
Or for the rest of the season. So that could be a possibility. I mean, they've taken breaks like that before, but I'm glad that they're not waiting like 6 months to give us the next season.
Yeah, that's definitely a very bad thing. I mean, that's one thing that, you know, Hasbro has, maybe it was, you know, with Cartoon Network or whatever, but, you know, the whole delay between, and this kind of goes towards the toys and stuff too. Just spreading it out for so long before doing anything else really, I think, kind of hurt things. And I hope that Hasbro, by having it on their own network, they won't make those same mistakes. And I think that's kind of what they're doing by giving us only about a month, a month and a half or so of a separation between season 1 and season 2. Now, does that carry over between 2 and 3? Who knows? But it does also kind of lead into the rumor. I think you and I, Mike, had talked about this, about that there's talk that at some point in time there might be a Transformers Prime movie that they do.
Yeah. That would be awesome.
That I would love to see how that worked out. I just hope it's not like The Simpsons, which is just basically a long Simpsons
Spider Pig.
Yeah. I mean, there's parts of that movie that I absolutely love. But when I'm watching that movie, all I see is one big-ass episode. And that's the inherent problem when you do movies that are, based off of TV series or something like that.
It just kind of leaves you between a rock and a hard place, if you know what I mean.
I think the future looks bright with Transformers Prime, though.
It does. And the thing is that you have to have a story that has, deep turns and curves and twists and everything else.
And more importantly, you have to have, in terms of storytelling, you have to have the taint of Primus.
Yeah.
You
also have to have like a beginning, a middle, and an end. Like, take TFTM. That has, you know, that is its own story within the Transformers card Generation 1 cartoon. That paid, you know, that used all the old characters, even though they got killed off.
Brought but even in that, you can see that that's just kind of a really long episode in between.
I don't. I never saw TFTM as a very long episode.
I think that's because you're looking at it through the glasses of a fan.
Well, so.
Well, no, that, there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with that. I'm just saying that, and I mean, I by no stretch of the imagination am I saying that I don't like it. I love that movie, but you could break that up into just an episode.
Probably.
I mean.
But yes, overall, season one of Transformers Prime is excellent. Every time I see Megatron in this cartoon, I so want the toy.
Oh, I agree. I will have this. This will be on my desk next to Beast Wars Megatron and War for Cybertron Megatron.
The only problem that I have with the toys is it comes in it comes from Bumblebee. I think he's too big. I don't know. Maybe it's because of RC. Because when I'm seeing RC and Bumblebee together, and RC is taller than Bumblebee in robot mode, it really bugs me.
Is she?
Yeah, she is.
Wow.
That's not by much, but it's noticeable. But, you know.
Yeah, this is the only movie style. Because let's face it, we all know this. We've talked about this before. They basically combined multiple versions of past versions of Transformers. It is movie style influence. It is animated style influence a bit. This is the only movie-esque or whatever style of the Bumblebee Camaro. This is the only Bumblebee toy as far as that style goes that I would probably ever buy just because it is Transformers Prime Bumblebee.
I think that's just because you like Transformers Prime and you don't like the Transformer movies.
Ding, ding, ding.
Yeah.
We have a winner.
Overall, I can't wait to see more. And we actually did see more with New York Comic Con this past week. I saw it on, I think it's Entertainment News International.
TFormers.com.
Yeah. They showed off a clip that happened at New York Comic Con, and wow. I hope to God my hopes aren't dashed with season two, but I have such stories that they could tell in season two if they're going to go with what happened in that clip. Basically, the clip shows Knockout branding Optimus Prime with a Decepticon symbol.
Yes.
I want to know what's going to happen when Optimus Prime, who now thinks he's Orion Pax, looks in a mirror and doesn't see Orion Pax.
I think the key
to Vector Sigma will restore him. The power of Primus compels you. But I think it would be cool to see, you know, Prime be evil for a couple episodes and then just kind of be like a Silverbolt type thing from Beast Wars. Like I don't think this is right, Megatronus, and then he'll be like, shut your face. Do what I tell you.
See, what I think might happen is that, and this is, now I'm not getting my hopes up for this because I seriously doubt that they'll do this. When I first saw the Decepticon symbol thing being put on him in that clip, the first place my head went was like, oh my god, they're turning him into Nemesis Prime.
It's a trap.
But that would be kind of awesome to have a Nemesis Prime in cartoon form.
And then they'll have to go into another continuity and pull Optimus Primal.
Oh god.
But no, and then maybe Starscream will, you know, lead the Autobots for a while.
Nice. I'd be all for that. Do it.
It'd be interesting to say the least. Starscream has no army.
That's true.
Or he can come back with Dr. Archibald.
And the Autobots have no leader.
They're leaderless. They all look to Bumblebee, who nobody understands. That was good.
That was like a combination between R2-D2 and Chewbacca. Okay, where do we go from here, Steve?
Well, we've already pretty much stated what we're looking forward to as well, so we will cut this episode short before we go into more random sound effects. Thank you for joining us here on All Things Transformers 2.0. If you'd like to leave us feedback on the show, there are many ways to do this. First, you can visit the website, geekcastradio.com, where you can comment on all of our different podcasts using various different logins now. Second, you can rate our show and leave us feedback in iTunes. Please do this. I haven't checked to see if there are any lately, so I can't ream anybody a new asshole on the outro. So,
I think I checked the other day. There wasn't anything new.
Okay, please do it. Call the voicemail line, 502-526-5821. Please remember to tell us the show you were leaving the message for and your name. Also, ask Megatron questions. He will answer them. And I promise you, Charlie Sheen will not be in it.
Thank God for that.
Follow the Twitter for this podcast, at Predacon Empire. My Twitter is SCP-21. What are your Twitter names?
What's yours, Mike?
I don't know. TFG and Mike?
You don't know?
No. Heard. TFG and Mike.
He never Twitters himself.
He has other people to do it for him. Much. He probably Twitters himself a little bit too much.
He has other people to do it for him.
I have other accounts that I can Twitter myself with.
Wow.
He's winning.
What's yours, Paul? Shut up, Steve.
I am just regular old Optobotomus.
Optobotomus.
So that does it for All Things Transformers. And until next time, you'll hear some random quote at the end of the episode. See you later, folks.
What is this I sense? The taint of Primus?
Megatron is commanded by no one!
Teamwork. Where are we, Megatronus? Don't you remember, old friend?
Welcome back, Lord Megatron.
At ease, Breakdown. That is no way to welcome a long-lost comrade. Orion Pax is one of us.